Today is May 17th, 2017, and this is episode number 411 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, and I have spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. I've got spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show...
I'm easily entertained sometimes. Carry on.
You are, and plus I like throwing you for a loop. Shoot us a note at acm@macobserver.com.
Part of the problem I had, well, so your title today, it hit me on two levels. The first one was just knowing that you have spurs that jingle jangle, and then
and jingle.
That's true. Because it's all about quality standards. And then the other part was, if the spurs are there, there's likely chaps, and now we're back into fanfic.
You're fueling Michael Goff in an inappropriate fashion, sir. Yeah, that's okay, Michael. We have it coming, apparently. So that's what she said. Hey, you know what I'm saying? That's chapter two.
Oh, and that's this week's Apple Context Machine.
Hey, listen. It would be best if we just ended the show right now. That'd be best. But
I know. I can hit the button and make it happen.
We're here. It's an ungodly, like, dude, this sun is on the other side of the sky. Did you know that it even happened? The sun is on the other side of the sky. It doesn't just start up in the middle and then go towards setting. It turns out that it gets to the middle.
How long have I been working with TMO now?
I don't know. It's what, 10, 12 years?
Something like that. Yeah, at least 10 years now. So I am very confident in saying, dude, I learned this at least a decade ago.
Well, I am learning it now, and I don't like it. I don't like it one bit, sir. Not one bit.
Well,
warnings are for sleeping, not working.
Yeah. I really feel your pain, my friend.
Also, let me send a shout out to my friends. they know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, they do. But you know, I have to tell you, Brian, there will be mornings when you get up and you'll see sunrises where
you'll just be blown away. Huh.
And now I'm very lucky because I'm in Colorado, and that's almost every single morning. Sunrises here are just spectacular all year round.
Sure.
And where you are, you get some really nice sunrises.
Yeah, I can't quite see them from my house, but you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Actually, what am I saying? I don't know. I'm not getting up that early. That's just crazy talk. Oh, but it will be that early in the winter.
Yes, it will.
Brutal. All right, listen, let's do a show. Topic number one today is Max at WWDC. Yay or nay, go.
I say no, knowing full well that I'm going to end up being wrong on this one. But here's the reason I say no.
Must be Wednesday.
Let me look at the calendar.
I'm a dick. I'm a real big dick.
Yep. That's all right. Don't worry. WWDC is coming up soon. We will both be in the same location at the same time. And I have a very long memory.
just remember who signs half the paycheck.
I still have a very long... It'll be worth it. It'll be so worth it. Anyhow, the reason that I say no is because what we're seeing right now is the same thing that we see before so many Macworld events, which is basically... just this news that Apple is revamping the entire product line and introducing brand new products all during their WWDC keynote.
Sure.
And they don't do that. And every year we hear the same thing, and every year Apple doesn't do that. So they have this very well-established dance with the media where everyone's like, gonna do it. And then Apple's like, nope.
Listen, hold on. Apple is not part of that dance. Apple is doing its thing, and then the media does its thing. But
right.
But let's back up a little bit, because the source of the story is Bloomberg.
Right. And this gets to the point of why I'm saying no, yet I know I'm wrong.
Okay. Should I finish the background?
Yeah, go ahead.
Mark Gurman used to be 9to5 Mac. Fellow that really helped propel them to news dominance. He and Alex Webb reported that Apple would be releasing an updated MacBook Pro, or announcing a MacBook Pro, maybe not releasing, but announcing a MacBook Pro and a MacBook, and possibly even a faster MacBook Air. That train punctuated my statement quite nicely. That
was just incredibly perfect timing.
It was, wasn't it?
New MacBook Air, whoop, whoop.
So that's what we're talking about is Mark Gurman's report. The counter, and I know the reason why you know that you're going to be wrong is because Mark Gurman is almost never wrong, or put it another way, he's almost always right.
Mm-hmm.
His reporting and his sources are excellent. I love that guy. And
yeah, he's really good at what he does.
He is very, very good at what he does. And he, you know what? You know what was interesting? I was trying to explain who he was last night in a conversation. Mm-hmm. He's a young man. He's just out of college, and he is reporting.
All aboard.
He is reporting at the highest levels of tech journalism. And he's you know, because he was a kid when he was first starting for 9to5 Mac. I think he was 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just out of college. He's 21, 22, something like that. Maybe a little older, maybe 23. I don't know, but young. And he is reporting at the highest levels of tech journalism. And I worship at the altar of excellence, and I love seeing anybody who kicks ass, who does something really, really well. And Mark Gurman is it.
Yep, he has a very special gift.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So he's almost always right. And that's the biggest reason. That's actually, I'm confident that Apple's going to do this just because he says he's going to, because he says so.
Yeah, if it was anyone other than Mark saying this, then I would just completely discount it as the normal media frenzy before WWDC. That leads to all these journalists being let down because Apple failed again. And Apple, all Apple did was what Apple does.
And that's not release new hardware at WWDC.
Exactly.
Okay. But here is the thing about this year. I think that Apple has clued into the fact that this not releasing Macs thing is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And if Apple is going to, so I got to back up a little bit. Do you know how many, and I think you do because we talked about this, how many products Apple has released in the last 8 calendar months?
Did we decide it was 16 total?
No.
Three
in the last 8 calendar months. I think we can actually go a little bit worse, because if we look at the last 12 calendar months, I think we're at 7.
Where did I get 16?
And that's counting iPhone 7 and iPhone 7 Plus. Mm-hmm. You're thinking 14 from the year from the calendar year of 2016.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
Apple shipped 14 new products in calendar 2016, right? Which is just ridiculous. It was 23 the year before, and that was not a banner year.
Yeah.
Right? 23. Did I say 23 or 24? It's 23 the year before, and that was not a banner year. Right. And if you look in the last 12 calendar months from right now, we've got roughly, I believe, I may have missed one or two, but I believe that Apple has released 7 new products in the last 12 months.
That's not many.
It's just staggering. It's just I don't even know what. Okay, so. And it's 3 in the last 8 months. So then that's kind of an arbitrary. What I'm basically doing is I'm starting that particular calendar at when Apple shipped the MacBook Pros. And mm-hmm. and then I'm counting forward. And that's arbitrary. So that's why I think it's a little more fair to go back a full 12 calendar months. But my point is that, and we haven't seen, what have we gotten this year? We've gotten the red iPhone. We got the memory adjusted iPhone SE, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, I'm not counting that as a new product.
Right. We got the cheap iPad.
We got the AirPods that were actually announced 9 months ago, but shipped 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. That's all they've done. And that's crazy. So
just to be clear, in all the new product announcement stuff you're looking at, you're not including watch bands.
I'm not including straps. That's correct.
Yeah. And I'm okay with that.
Thank you. They're not electronic.
Right.
It's not hardware.
Hey, are you including clips as a new product?
No, but I probably should. That's kind of fair.
Yeah, that would be fair, I think.
It's not hardware.
But it's a new product from Apple.
It is a new product from Apple. That's a fair point. That is a fair point. So let's call it 4. Let's just be generous. Let's call it 4.
All right.
Eight in the last year. In the last calendar year. Mm-hmm. So, and my point here is not actually to bag on Apple for all that. It's like I get the feeling based on the meeting they had with the 5 journalists where they talked about Mac Pro. I have a feeling that Apple has clued in that they've got a problem here with this iteration business and that they need to be releasing stuff. And the reason to do this year at WWDC is to get developers excited. And MacBook Pros with Kaby Lake processors are something that a lot of developers would use.
Mm-hmm.
And that's by the way, that's the change that would be in these new MacBook Pros. It wouldn't be a new form factor. This would be an updated MacBook Pro because, I mean, and I get inappropriately excited at the idea that Apple would update MacBook Pro after only 9 months.
I'm excited about that.
It'd be 10
knowing
months
full time. Well that I have a Touch Bar MacBook Pro on my desk right now.
Right.
Yeah. So right. If Apple does release a Kaby Lake Touch Bar MacBook Pro at WWDC, mm-hmm. that means they can release a MacBook Pro that can hold 32 gigs of RAM.
Yes. Yes, they can. And it's faster. Mm-hmm. And these are devices that developers would like. And I think it's the sort of thing to keep maybe relight that fire under some developer butts and to emphasize that point that Apple is not abandoning the Mac. Because keep in mind, every developer there, whether or not they're making Macs or whether they're making Mac apps or iOS apps, mm-hmm. they're all doing it on Macs.
Right, because that's the platform where you create the apps.
Mm-hmm. Apple needs Macs. Developers need Macs. So yeah, why not release it? If they're ready to release it, if they're like, you know, if they've got this fire lit under them and they've been working on this and they're ready to go, why not do it at WWDC, get that fire lit, under everybody's butt and get people excited again. And that is the reason to do it at WWDC this year. And, you know, quell that rumbling and show the developer world that, hey, we just said that we're committed to the Mac. And see, we're committed to the Mac.
So we're looking at new MacBook Pros, new MacBook Airs.
Maybe.
And maybe a Siri appliance. And
maybe the Siri. Yeah, maybe the Siri appliance. Yes. Mm-hmm. Which I would love to see, and one of the reasons why I'd like to see that at
it would make sense for that to be at WWDC if Apple is opening that up.
Yes, thank you. That's what I was trying to say. I was looking for the article at the same time, so in other words, I was multitasking poorly because you know. Bracket, Brian, bracket.
Yeah.
So I want to take a gander at what Mr. Gurman said about the new Mac. Said Apple is planning three new laptops, according to people familiar with the matter. So these are unnamed sources. The MacBook Pro will get a faster KB Lake processor from Intel Corp, said the people who requested anonymity to discuss internal planning, blah, blah, blah. Apple is also working on a new version of the 12-inch MacBook with a faster Intel chip. The company has also considered updating the aging 13-inch MacBook Air with a new processor as sales of the laptop, Apple's cheapest, remain surprisingly strong, one of the people said. So I'm calling the MacBook Air a maybe, but boy, that would sure be great. I'd love to see the Air updated. Actually, I'll go further than that. If Apple doesn't update it, Apple needs to kill it because it's an embarrassment.
It's on par with the brand new computer from Microsoft.
Except for the brand new computer from Microsoft does have a better screen.
And wall-to-wall carpeting.
But it looks good. I don't want it, but it looks good.
Have you seen it from the side?
Yes.
And you still think it looks good?
Well... no, I can see the point that you're alluding to. I would point out, however, that no one's ever going to look at that thing from the side. Not in the wild. No one's going to like scrunch down.
Do you ever work in coffee shops?
Yes, people know hunker down and look at the computer from the side.
Am I the only person that scopes people's laptops in coffee shops?
But you're not doing it from the side. You're not scrunching down.
You don't have to scrunch down.
Whatever. Hey, look, don't get that thing is underpowered and it's underrammed and it's underported.
Totally. But it does have a nice screen.
It does have a legitimately nice screen
and wall-to-wall carpeting.
Wall-to-wall carpeting, and it looks sexy. It does. It looks sexy.
But yeah, when you're looking at it, when you're sitting in front of it, I think it does have a sexy look to it. Yeah.
Have you been by a Microsoft store since that thing was announced?
No, the closest Microsoft store to me is a 45-minute drive in good traffic.
I need to get out to the mall near me. It's got a Microsoft store that's right across the hall from an Apple store. And one time, I saw, I think, 22 people in there, and eight of them were employees.
Okay, that would be more than I've ever seen in a Microsoft store.
Vast majority of the time, there's five to seven people visible with zero to four customers.
And of those 5 to 7 people, three at a minimum will be kids playing on the Xbox.
I don't remember seeing that many kids in there, but that's not the point. The point is that I'm wondering if the hubbub over the Surface laptop and the Surface Studio and then the Surface whatever the toaster fridge is
the Surface toaster fridge
if that's a hot surface, don't touch, is getting more people in the door. The
Surface Hibachi.
My gut says that Microsoft stores do have slightly more traffic right now. I have no evidence. I have no evidence to support this whatsoever. But, you know, that's how we roll.
It's a plausible assumption.
But I need to go check it out and see for myself.
Yeah, let me know. And but be careful. I went to the mall yesterday. I had to buy pants. That's, you know, when you have nieces graduating, you have to wear pants to their graduations. It's just the rule. But I had to go to the mall.
I think there's some go ahead.
Yeah, we're just going to drop that part of it and move on to I went to the mall. And it was a soul-sucking experience. It was as if the life force had been drained from my marrow.
Why?
It was the mall.
You go to the mall all the time to go to the Apple Store.
No. I go to the Apple Store and it's an outdoors mall. So I'm parking and walking up into a store where I've been outside, so it's not like being in an enclosed mall. Last night I went to an enclosed mall. And it was just, never go alone. Fair enough. You need a support team. Just take someone with you.
All right. Fair enough. So anyway, you're at the mall and?
And it sucked the life out of me.
Is that it? Does that mean that this isn't about the Microsoft thing?
The Microsoft thing. There used to be a Microsoft booth. You know, there's like little cart things. This tells you how often I go to malls. There's like
little kiosks. Mall parlance.
Yeah. Microsoft had one of those in the mall and they closed it. They couldn't even keep a kiosk open in the mall. But hey, this will be exciting for you. You know, that shaving place that you showed me when we were in Vegas for CES?
That was like 2 years ago, and that's called, oh my goodness, what's it called? High End Shaving Store. You know, like I actually know.
Whatever that place was called, there's one in the mall that I went to.
The Art of Shaving.
The Art of Shaving, and it's directly next to the Apple Store.
Ah, that's a good spot for them, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want one of those. I want one of those brushes. And some sandalwood. I've gotten to an age where I want to smell like sandalwood. I think that means I'm old.
It probably does.
Okay, I'd like to hear from some of our listeners. Is
Brian old?
Well, yeah, no, we don't.
Can let us know on Twitter.
The answer is yes. The question is, does wanting to smell like sandalwood, does that you know, exacerbate the concept of being old?
Or is it merely an ant fetish?
Right, that's funny. Okay, so anyway, we've got that thing, the thing with them, and then they're going to do the thing with the it's going to happen. WWC, we're going to see some new laptops.
Yeah, I think the gist of what our conversation was is that it's out of character for Apple, but they will introduce new laptops at WWDC.
Yes.
Going to the mall will suck the life out of you, and yes. Brian wants to smell like sandalwood.
Yes, and I do have spurs that jingle, jingle, jingle.
Yes, you do. But you haven't confirmed or denied chaps.
I have neither confirmed. So a story, we know my last name is Chaffin. Mm-hmm. It's not a secret. So, my entire life, my last name has been a source of amusement for some of my male colleagues and or antagonists. For instance, when I was in school, high school, and I was a drummer in high school, drummers are dicks. I was a drummer and my fellow drummers are dicks. They called me Chaffballs. Brian Chaffballs. That was my name.
Oh, I was Dammit Gammit.
Damn it, Gale, that works. Yeah, sure. Do we need to mark the mature thing now?
No, we've never been mature.
Oh, fair enough. And when I was in an earlier career, when I was working at as a manager at Domino's Pizza for a long time, one of the local high school for one of the stores I managed, they were the Chaparrals. Mm-hmm. And he came up with the idea, a fellow manager came up with the idea of hanging banners, because it was a small town, right? And the high school was a big deal. Mm-hmm. It was a small, rich town, very rich high school, very, very successful athletic program, that sort of thing. And he came up with the idea of posting banners around the town that said "Chafing for Chaps," because they were the Chaps for short. And so anyway, this is my life in a nutshell.
I shouldn't have laughed at that.
But you're encouraging a bully out there somewhere.
I know. And you know what? And I, to coin a phrase from Brian, I ain't got no truck for bullies.
And this guy is not a bully. He's a friend of mine, still a friend of mine today. Anyway, Chafe. Yeah. So no, I will confirm that I do not own Chaps, but I do have Spurs that jingle, jingle, jingle.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to the updated wardrobe report.
The show is just completely off the rails.
Top men.
That's true. There's this thing, glucose, the smart strap. What's tell me what this is.
Oh my God. First off, I'm really proud of you for at least being able to get the words out. Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the deal. It's no secret that there's been talk for several weeks about Apple working on what's a non-invasive.
Apple has a team working on a way of monitoring glucose levels aimed at diabetics.
You just couldn't let me finish the sentence, could you?
No, I couldn't. Yeah. Because I didn't like the way you were getting to it.
All right. So back to what I was saying, because it's very important. It's very important, Brian.
Yes.
Very non-invasive important. Blood glucose level sensing. That's really important. No one's been able to do this in a reliable way at a clinical level. So, and this is one of those things that Apple may have cracked. And if so, this is huge, non-invasive blood glucose readings. So this is not new to know. And Apple has been hiring people, gobs of people for years that could play into this plan. The new thing is,
and Apple has talked, the executives have talked about the importance of the medical industry, the size of the medical industry. And Apple has talked about ways that it can be a very important player within the medical industry. This is both from the standpoint of collecting data, storing data, managing data, distributing data where you want it and giving you control of the data, but also from the standpoint of hardware being able to serve vital functions, including what you just described.
Right. And so, the assumption's been this is going into the Apple Watch. And that's a reasonable assumption. But now we're hearing that, yes, Apple is planning on bringing this to Apple Watch, but maybe as a smart watch band, and then we will see other smart watch bands released as well. And by that, I mean a watch band that has technology built into it to serve a special function that supplements what your Apple Watch is doing. So I could go buy an Apple Watch today. Well, I already have one, but I could go buy an Apple Watch today and it does what it does. But if I had diabetes, then I could get a smart band that replaces the regular band on my watch And now my Apple Watch is also my blood glucose monitor.
Okay, so first of all, we have no guarantee that if Apple does release any kind of glucose monitoring smart strap, that it'll actually work with any current generation Apple Watch.
That this is true. We do know there's that little data port thing that's on the watch where the band attaches. But yes, we don't know if it'll work with the current series of Apple Watches.
But the point is that when it is released, it'll work with some subset of Apple Watches. For instance, I would have zero doubt that it would not work with the original Apple Watch. I have no proof, but I have zero doubt. The Apple Watch Series 0 would not be supported by this thing.
It's possible,
but one way or another, there's going to be a subset of Apple Watches that this thing works with. Mm-hmm. And whatever that subset is, it would be an option. That's the whole point.
Yes. Now, the reason I think this is totally the way Apple would go is because if they put it in the watch itself, now you're increasing the cost of the watch, and the watch has to go through FDA approval.
The watch itself has to.
The watch itself.
Right. And if they're releasing it as a smart strap, only that would have to go through FDA approval.
Right. And Apple is not happy about the idea or interested in the idea of putting the watch itself through an FDA approval process. At that point, just the whole thing with when a watch gets released and what people know about it ahead of time is completely out of their hands. So,
right.
So release the watch, and then the band can go through FDA approval, and then you get the band you want. And this is something that you want to go through FDA approval, because this is something that Apple would want people looking at as a serious medical device for serious blood glucose tracking.
Well, okay, I got to inject a little bit of politics here, because there are some people who actually think that the FDA does too much. I am not one of those people, and I think those people are crazy. I think that there is a reason why a lot of drugs take so long to get released in the U.S., but there's also a reason why there are relatively few problems with drugs that do get released.
Yeah. Did you know that my dad was a regional director for the Food and Drug Administration?
I did. However, I will be appearing in the role of Jeff Gamet today. No, Jeff, I didn't. Tell me about that.
Oh, well, okay, Jeff. So the deal is, based on my experiences growing up, the FDA, despite what some people think, plays a very vital role in maintaining the health and yes, physical safety and welfare of people in the United States.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
There's a reason why we don't get salmonella every time we open a can of green beans.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Apple could do a glucose edition Apple Watch glucose edition.
Sweet.
Apple could do that. But if Apple could do it with just the strap, that seems to me to be a lot better for everyone, including diabetics or anyone else who needs to monitor their glucose levels. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
And it's also the kind of thing where Apple might be able to be in a position to have insurance companies pay for this for customers.
Sure.
Because if people can monitor their glucose levels automatically, non-invasively, that has the potential to be massively life-changing for diabetics. Massively life-changing. Yeah. So and so again, having insurance companies willing to cough up for that would they're going to be a lot more willing to cough up for a smart strap than an entire Apple Watch. Mm-hmm. So I have no idea if Apple is even wanting to do that. You know, Apple may not be interested in the insurance company subsidizing that.
Yeah, but you know, it's that would be one of those things where that gets sorted out later. Just getting the products out there and letting people figure out how they're going to pay for them. Okay, well, those end up being different things.
Also. So here's what I would love.
Mm-hmm.
We have talked often about my love of mechanical watches.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked often about the fact that I like my Apple Watch, but I don't love it. But I wear it all the time in lieu of my mechanical watch because I want the data.
Yeah.
Definitely. Uh-oh, how many steps did I take?
Uh-oh.
And and what I would love is if Apple's as yet unannounced smart strap would do monitoring for me and I could actually wear it with my mechanical watch and capture that data that I want while wearing the watch that I want.
I totally get why you would want that. Not going to happen.
But I want it. But I want it.
I know. But good news. We are technology pundits. That qualifies you to be a prima donna.
Oh, right.
So you can go ahead and when Apple doesn't release that, write a scathing editorial about how Apple is doomed.
No, I'm not going to do that. I could in fact do that. But what I would guess is that even if Apple were inclined to do that, which Apple would not be inclined to do that, but even if they were, that a lot of what the smart strap is going to do is going to be relying on the guts of the Apple Watch to do the doing.
I agree completely. My feeling is that the watch band will have the sensors and the minimum necessary chips to make that sensor do what it needs to do so it can communicate with the watch.
Yeah, report directly to the watch and not store anything.
Yeah, and it probably won't even have its own power supply.
Yeah, no way. No way it'll have its own power supply. No way it'll have its own power supply. You're right. You're right. But it would be so cool if I could have a smart strap that reported to HealthKit.
Mm-hmm.
I'd wear my mechanical watch. At least some.
But that just hasn't happened. Therefore, you wear an Apple Watch all the time.
I wear my Apple Watch all the time. My Zenith sits in a watch winder. Forlorn. Spinning every, 20, 30 minutes.
You know, I know what a watch winder is because I have seen them in stores and in movies. Yet, in my mind, it's still a Flintstones type device where there's a monkey or a parrot or something or a mini pterodactyl that reaches down and twists a little dial to wind the watch for you. And then occasionally does an aside to the camera about what a horrible life they have.
What the hell's wrong with you? It's a watch winder, brother.
I know. Plugs it just in. Does a little swishy, swishy, swishy thing.
Yeah.
It stirs your watch. It's a watch stirrer is what it is.
Yeah, it sort of is. Yeah. Nonetheless, if Apple is able to do this, it's going to be life-changing for diabetics.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, no more pricking the fingers all the time and no more needing to essentially be a slave to that schedule of checking your blood glucose levels. The watch is just doing it for you automatically.
Right. And it's so let's hope that Apple is actually able to do this. And you know, this is sort of segueing into our third topic.
Mm-hmm.
So what I have an overarching point that I want to make.
Well, make your overarching point then.
Well, I'm thinking that maybe we should talk about Lattice first, though.
Oh, all right. So you're going to do this cool thing where you tie it all together.
Sort of, yeah. Let's go with that.
All right, I can't wait to see where this goes.
Let's go with that. I like that's that sounds great.
All right, so there's this company called Lattice Data and Apple Bottom, and
there was this company called Lattice Data.
Well, it's still a company. It's just at this point wholly owned by Apple. It may get absorbed into Apple, so you know, mostly pedantic. But the point is, Apple bought Lattice Data, and this has some intriguing possibilities for Apple, because Lattice Data, what they've done is they've figured out a way to essentially catalog and categorize what's known as dark data. And dark data is all that data and information that's out on the internet that isn't linked together in a meaningful way so that it can be parsed and processed and analyzed. And if you could take all of this other data and figure out how to parse through it in a meaningful way, then you can have a computer system, a search system, an artificial intelligence system that is far more responsive and far more likely to react appropriately to whatever you're saying or doing because it has all this other information. Now, human brains just kind of do this, but computers, they can't. But with what Lattice Data has created, you can now use machine learning to essentially do what the human brain already does, which is look at all these different images and words and phrases and sounds and catalog them in a way that they can be referenced again. And so there you go. That's what Lattice Data does. And now Apple owns them.
Okay. First of all, thank you for explaining that, because being a top man, I didn't read your piece. It's been busy. It's been busy around here.
It's been super busy
around here. Second of all, this is the way Skynet and KT were born. And this is scary stuff. Part of me hopes that Apple bought this company so that they can bury the data and keep it from destroying humanity.
I totally get why you would think that. And yet I think that this is going to be put to use to make Siri more intelligent and more human-like with the way it interacts with us.
Hey, who is not to say that Skynet's nickname wasn't Siri?
Yeah. And who's to say that KT's grandmother isn't Siri?
Yes, that is entirely possible. That is entirely possible. I will have to actually think about that one. And the reality, though, is that this is one of those things that does separate computers from humanity right now, from human beings. This ability to put unconnected, seemingly unconnected data points together and draw conclusions and, you know, let's call it intuition.
Yeah, I kind of like the idea of calling it intuition. Okay, now, so Brian.
Yeah.
I've spun this out for you as a way to make Siri more intelligent. Mm-hmm. But there's other things Apple could do with this, and this may help tie into the overarching theme that you are implying you might be able to create. Once you've got all of this data cataloged and tagged in a way that computers can find the cross references and the similarities, and you can start doing some really interesting things with data research. So imagine being able to take all of that information and find patterns that are really useful for the medical industry.
Well, and not just for the medical industry, for all of the industry, imagine, you know, I argued a long time ago that Siri was part of Apple leapfrogging search engines today. Mm-hmm. We're not there in practice. Not even close.
No, what Siri is doing is tapping into the search engines that are already there.
Yeah. mean, there's other things that Apple is doing to try to leapfrog search engines. A lot of the stuff that Apple is doing with Spotlight is not quite leapfrogging search engines, but obviating search engines, obviating the way that we use search engines today. Apple has made the case to, I think it was to Stephen Levy.
I think it's Levy.
A couple of years ago, they let him in, and they talked about the importance of AI and machine learning and neural nets. And let me cut to the overarching point that I was going to make.
Okay.
We who are Apple's current fans get so cranky about the lack of new Macs, the lack of new iPads, the lack of Apple getting out of the airport business. Apple, I'm cranky about Apple killing the iPad mini, maybe killing the iPad mini, mm-hmm. probably likely already having killed the iPad mini internally. We get cranky about Apple having left the display business, although they're going to be getting back into the display business. We get cranky about Apple's inability to iterate. This is the thing that we've talked about quite a bit in the last, 18 months. Mm-hmm. The thing is that Apple has got these moonshot projects that they're doing. We all talk about Google's moonshots all the time, but Tim Cook has quietly been doing these big ass moonshot projects within Apple. Mm-hmm. People talk about Tim not having any product vision because he's not Steve Jobs. And he's not Steve Jobs. But he has Apple doing stuff that is huge. This medical industry stuff, this biomedical stuff, mm-hmm. that Apple is doing is huge. And we've only gotten the tiniest taste of it, I think. This diabetic glucose monitoring thing that Apple appears to be, we know that they're working on it, but it seems like Apple may have actually successfully conquered or is in the process of conquering it. That is going to be a big deal. It is going to be, I cannot say this enough. It's going to be life changing for diabetics. It's going to be life changing. It's going to be huge to the people that it affects.
And if Apple is looking at what they can do in this part of the medical industry, what else are they looking at that we don't know about yet?
Right. And we know that Apple has a big team working in medical related technologies. But then you've also got all the stuff that Apple is doing with Siri, all the stuff that Apple is doing with neural nets. You know, a year and a half ago, they were talking about the importance, how neural nets and machine learning were essentially becoming ingrained in everything that Apple was doing. Mm-hmm. And what we know of as Siri today is, in my opinion, the tip of the iceberg. And Apple has this long play. You know, Google rushed to market with Google Home. Amazon rushed to market with Alexa. Mm-hmm. And Apple is taking this long play with Siri to teach her how to truly be a badass.
Mm-hmm.
And it's these. Go ahead, please.
I think part of what is coming with Siri will leapfrog. Whoops, sorry about that. Well, stop Siri. What's coming with Siri is a way to be able to really anticipate what we need, and bless her little heart, and work with us in a meaningful way that surpasses what Google can do today. And they're going to do it without having to mine through and exploit all of our personal data in the way that Google does.
Well, yeah, hopefully they can. And to be fair, Google is also the real deal when it comes to machine learning and neural nets. I think that Google is going to, you know, Google Home, Google Now, you know, those technologies, I think that those are going to continue to improve as well. I don't think Google is taking shortcuts. I think that Google Home is a bit of a shortcut, but it's not as much of a shortcut as Alexa is. And I'm confident that Google is going to continue to perfect that. And Google has the ability to harness, you know, all of its search engine data, not to mention all the personal data that you just mentioned that they come through and use to their own benefit.
Mm-hmm.
But what's happening within Apple, this big picture stuff that is the most likely reason that Apple stopped, lost track of releasing new Macs and iPads every year. And hopefully, again, as we were talking earlier, hopefully Apple has, you know, learned its lesson there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing the beginnings of positive change that's going to surprise and delight fans of their current products, right? So that's, you know, let's leave that aside. This big picture stuff Apple is doing behind the scenes that we don't know about, or we're only getting little glimpses of, I think is going to end up being a really, really big deal.
Yeah, I think so. And I'm actually really excited to see where Apple takes this. As I'm looking forward to the day when I can ask my little assistant that tried to help me out just a moment ago,
mm-hmm,
something, and have her respond in a way that is contextually appropriate. And so here's what happened the other day that really drove this home for me. I got up early and I was just so tired. Like, I couldn't hardly even see. I was so tired. But I needed to know what the weather was going to be so that I could be properly prepared for the day. So I asked Alexa to tell me what the weather is, or yeah, something like that. Anyhow, and I was so tired, the way it came out of my mouth, it sounded like I was painfully depressed. And I get this cheery yet cold and empty response from Alexa. And just the contrast between that totally empty, void of context response just made me think, wow, we really have a long way to go with the way these voice assistants interact with us. And I'm hoping that Apple gets us to the point where it does feel a lot more human-like.
And I think that Apple will. I think there was once a narrative that Apple had problems in AI because it was so secretive,
mm-hmm,
right? No one could publish anything in the whole AI academic world and corporate world. Was very into publishing papers. And Apple executives said, yeah, not really, because what the people who are focused on things like publishing, yeah, they don't like it here. Yeah, we get that. But the people who stay here and like it here aren't interested in that. And there's a certain element of that is like, oh, yeah, duh. That makes sense.
Yeah, of course it makes sense.
You know, and we, you know, Apple has been making these AI machine learning neural net related purchases and making some fairly significant purchases. And we do see progress with Siri. I think that Apple is doing something really, really interesting in the AI space, and that it's not just Siri. That it's going to play roles in many different areas within Apple's overall product line. I'm really, you know, all these years, all these months that I've been bitching and complaining about Apple not releasing new Macs and more recently iPads, all that complaining I've done, I have also been very consistent where I said, but I'm quite confident in Apple's long-term innovative future. My problem is with their iteration. It's not with Apple no longer having any vision. And my evidence for that, part of my evidence for that was the fact that Apple has not had a significant brain drain. Those, you know, all those people that were working for Steve Jobs, most of them are still working for Tim Cook. And
that's a good point.
And he's able to keep them, which means that they're doing something that they want to do. Because all those people could go do whatever the hell they wanted after Steve died. If there had been this diaspora out, you know, all those people would have been CEOs of whatever company they wanted to be CEO of. But they didn't. They stayed at Apple. And don't get me wrong, I don't want to go off in too much of a rabbit hole, although I guess I already am. There's a lot of reasons for that. One of which is that they all wanted to make sure for Steve, for the memory of Steve, they wanted to make sure that Apple continued. Sure. That's part of it. That was part of what was guiding them. But
and they also had mortgages.
Yeah, they're all.
That's my clever way of saying everyone loves to see the money continue to flow into the company.
It's true, but the vast majority of the top executives don't need it. They're all worth tens to hundreds of millions of dollars. And you know, maybe they want to be billionaires. Who knows? But that's not my point. My point is that, yes, I feel like they very specifically wanted to make sure there was continuity and that they wanted to make sure that Apple continued on just as Steve had worked so hard in the last few years of his life to make sure that was the case. But then also they believe in what Apple is doing. And what Apple is doing at this point is a lot bigger than just new Macs and new iPads and new iPhones. And I think that the stuff that they're doing is probably going to end up dwarfing even iPhone.
I think you're right. Apple is always playing the long game, and they're always looking ahead to what comes next.
Yeah.
And they know that every great product is transient, because eventually there will be a different great product.
Yeah, that's true. Phil Schiller recently said that he thought that iPhone would be a part of our lives for like 50 years.
Sure, but they're also looking beyond those 50 years.
Yes. Well, I don't know about that.
I think they are. And I think they're also looking at what other great products they can have that run tandem with the iPhone success.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, to it, like this, you know, glucose monitoring smart strap. Mm-hmm. So you might ask them, why am I so pissy about the lack of Macs if Apple's doing all these things that are more important? When you have all of the money and all of the resources in the world, when you have, as my friend puts it, infinity resources, go ahead and do both. Iterate the old products and work on your moonshots too. That's what I want. And so to bring it all back to the first segment, I think that we're going to be seeing some signs that Apple's doing just that.
At WWDC,
which is in a month.
And we'll both be there. It'll be great to see you. And it'll be a lot of fun to get to talk in person about whatever Apple announces at WWDC.
Yeah, agreed. All right, we are out of time.
Yes, we are. So hold on. I know exactly what button to push. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And thanks for listening.
Let's see here. This is where I say that other thing. Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for TMO. And I still have Spurs, the Jingle Jangle, and Jingle. And that's all for this week.
And stay subscribed, despite the fact that Brian doesn't have chaps.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.
Thank you.